The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been said that there are two types of people in the world. There's vision people, and then there's small print people. The vision people are the ones who have the inspiration. They're the ones who see a large picture, big picture, or they have the idea. And it's their job then to convey that idea, to motivate everyone else. The small print people, once they are motivated, once that visionary person has done their work, then the small print people say, "Okay, how can we get this done? How can we do this?" For instance, a visionary person may say, "I see a vision where here we can feed everyone in Yorktown. No one needs to go hungry. No one needs to lack for food." And so then the small print people see that vision as well then too, and they get to work. Maybe having some food drives, making sure yam is well stocked, or maybe even putting together a way to help deliver food out into the community. Having people spot, or a way to make sure that no one is left without food in the town. Have visionary people, you have small print people who actually get the work done. In the Old Testament, it was usually the prophets who were the visionary people. God would give the prophets a vision of what was to take place, or what's happening. And it was that job of that prophet to pass on that message, to pass on that vision, so that people could understand what was going on and what they need to do. And then the Hebrew people then would get about the business of getting it done. Moses was one of those prophets. He had a vision. He had that vision, or God gave that vision to him of taking the people back to the promised land. And then of setting the identity of these Hebrew people, making sure that their identity is set in God. And when they were out in the wilderness then, Moses went up to the mountain. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, a new vision. A vision of how the people should live, of setting them apart from all other peoples. And so Moses brings the Ten Commandments down, and he explains it to them. And the people say, "Yes, we will follow these." Eventually, they get to work in doing those things. And when they followed that vision, when they got to work and followed that vision, life was good. They were able to go into that promised land. They were able to possess it. A lot of times, though, they fell away when they no longer saw that vision. They fell away. And so a new prophet would have to arise and remind them of that vision. Our first lesson for today from Habakkuk is one of those prophets who brings that vision back. He says, "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may see it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time." So Habakkuk is the one with the vision. He sees that vision. He wants to make it clear. He finds a way to get it spread out among the people with a runner. What is that vision that he saw? If you go back a little earlier than that, it says, "Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted." The people had gotten away from their identity of who they were supposed to be. They were supposed to be people of the law, people of God. They were supposed to have their set identity in God by that law. And they had fallen away from it. And so they had perversion, they had wickedness, they had fallen away from God, and life was not good. And so Habakkuk is that visionary person who brings that vision to the people so that the people will repent and do the work of following God. In the gospel lesson for today, there's also vision. The disciples catch the division from Jesus. And in a sense, then, they become visionary people too as well then too. They cry out, "Increase our faith." Jesus was that visionary person who portrayed the faith that he had, that closeness to God. And the disciples wanted some of that. They wanted to be a part of that. And so they're crying out to Jesus, "Increase our faith so that we can do the things that you can do, so that we can teach like you do, so that we can heal, so that we can minister to people. Increase our faith." They had that vision as well. They caught that vision within them. And they weren't sure how to do that, of how to increase their faith. And so they're asking God, "Increase our faith." But they had caught that vision from Jesus. And Jesus tries to explain this. He explains it then to the disciples. If you had just the tiniest bit of faith, like a mustard seed, you could move huge other trees out of the way. You could tell them, "Move out of the way," and it would obey you. He also gives another parable here then. Or he asks the question, "Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'?" What Jesus is saying in this parable is that you do, or think of it this way, the slave would not be plowing the field if he were not a slave. He's not doing it because he loves the work. He's not doing it for the pay. He's doing it because he is a slave. That is who he is. That's why he is doing it. Or he's not tending the sheep simply because he just loves the little furry animals. He's doing it because he is a slave. He serves his master because he is a slave. That's his job. That's what he is. That makes his identity of who he is. We call ourselves Christian. So what's that mean? What does that make us as Christians? So we look at that big vision once again. God looked down upon the world and he saw a mess. But he had a plan. He had a plan to fix the mess. The plan was to send his son into the world to show the world exactly who God is. And in seeing Jesus, the world has seen who God actually is. Because Jesus came to serve. Jesus is that servant. Jesus is that slave in that sense. That's who he is. He came to serve out of love. It shows that God is love, that God was willing to give his only son into this world and serve us in that way. And so Jesus came into the world and he ministered to people. He ministered to the outcast. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He taught people in large groups and also one-on-one. He preached to many people. He went head-to-head or toe-to-toe with those who had lost the vision of who God is. Jesus was the vision. Jesus was the vision, but he also gathered with him the fine print people. the fine print people who were also then to relay this message to everyone else throughout the world. And so we call ourselves Christians. We call ourselves followers of Christ. And that is why we do what we do. That's our identity as Christians. We are willing to forgive other people simply because we are Christian. We give of our time, our possessions, and our talents simply because we're Christians. We come to worship and give praise to God simply because we are Christians. Now, there's blessings in this, but the blessings don't come in return of what we do. If you give someone something and you expect something in return, then that is no longer a gift. That's an exchange. We give simply because that is the blessing. That is who we are. We're living out our lives. Our lives are fulfilled. That is the blessing. We forgive one another. And if we forgive somebody hoping that they will accept that forgiveness, well, then we're looking for something in return. We simply unload ourselves and ask for forgiveness. We ask for forgiveness from God. We ask for forgiveness from somebody else. And in that, when we let it go, that is the blessing, because that's who we are as Christians. We are Christians. That is our identity. That is who we are. We are followers of Christ, and we do the same thing that Christ has done. That's what we strive to do. We are still sinners. And a lot of times we fall away, like the Hebrew people fell away from their identity. We too fall away. But Christ is there to bring us forgiveness. We can see that vision of God. God had that vision of creating people, of people living in harmony, of people sharing, of giving to one another, helping one another in their lives, living together, giving praise and worship to God, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And with that comes that blessing that we are doing what we were intended to be, of who we were intended to be, as followers of Jesus Christ, as children of the Heavenly Father. God does bless us. He gives blessings upon blessings to us. And we can participate in who we are. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.